This is the All Saints Today podcast, and we have a special guest with us today, and that is Elder Robert Mitchell. Elder Robert Mitchell was born to the late Elder Robert L. Mitchell Sr. and Effie Jean Simmons Mitchell on September the 30th, 1966, in Washington, D.C. He graduated from Akron Garfield High School and attended Westminster College in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. Elder Mitchell currently serves as Director of Worship and Organist with the Bethel Church of God of Christ in Youngstown, Ohio, under the Superintendent Ross Johnson. On the district level, Elder Mitchell serves presently as Chairman of the Auxiliaries in Ministry for the Greater Mahoning Valley District for the past 13 years. At the state level, he serves as first executive assistant for the urban initiatives with the Ohio North First Jurisdiction under Dr. Andrew Clark and the urban initiatives coordinator, and Bishop Edward T. Cook, the jurisdictional bishop. Elder Mitchell is employed with the Youngstown Area Industries as Human Resources Coordinator and has worked in several capacities such as job coach, placement specialist, outreach worker, community engagement, and workforce development for the past 25 years. Elder Mitchell was happily married to Medina Mitchell and proud parents of Kirsten Delaney and Robert III. Elder Mitchell, we're so glad to have you on our podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Allen. We're so glad to be here on this Friday evening to share. And thank you again for your invite. And we're looking forward to sharing what's on our hearts.
Well, thank you for agreeing to come on our podcast. I believe that you are a source of information. Number one, you are a PK. Your father was actively involved at the jurisdictional level of Ohio North in the youth ministry. And so that you being a son of the church, you have great insight into the Black church. So,
yes, sir. Yes.
And so we're going to begin. First question is, why does the Black church matter?
Well, Pastor Allen, I always believe the Black church has always mattered from its inception, especially during slavery time, where when they were oppressed by their slave owners, that the Black church was one of those entities that the Black people could congregate together. They can find strength with one another and getting through those rough days as in slavery. And even now, sometimes the Black church is under tremendous attack, whether it's through poverty, lack of employment, single parent families, children without fathers, even mothers, their parents are incarcerated. So the Black church is that vital resource that is needed, especially in the Black community. We see all the killings and the violence that takes place. So the Black church is very, very important for the Black people.
That's very true. When you consider all the issues that you have listed, those are complex issues.
Yes.
Which would require more than one solution and different approaches. Very complex, complex issues.
Yes.
What kind of church is the Black church? That's a good question. What kind of church is the Black church?
Well, you can come from many perspectives. The Black church is a very lively church, first and foremost. The way that we praise the Lord and where we are, different styles of worship is very lively. It's not quiet like some Catholic churches or just people coming together and just looking around at each other. But the Black church believes in really lifting up the name of Jesus. And I believe the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Psalms 100, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Then you come in before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is good. So the black church is a church of expression, mm-hmm. whether you can yell, holler, cry. There's a lot of emotionalism that is expressed within the black church, and we welcome every expression that is possible for the black church to have.
You know, what's really interesting is the fact that the worship style of the black church is more uniform now than what it was, say, mm-hmm. even 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. You consider, you go to an AME congregation, a CME congregation, a Baptist congregation, non-denominational Church of God in Christ. I'm starting to see some uniformity, even in preaching, mm-hmm. As well as in the actual worship style itself.
Right. The black church, once again, as you well stated, is a place where people from all walks of life, we don't have any, we don't have any favoritism when it comes to our style of worship. We are the jubilant type church, and then we're embracing a very quiet worship where people can come and just worship the Lord. And now, in this day and time, you have the strobe lights in worship.
Oh, yeah.
Just like our counterparts within the white church. Yes. So that's being embraced now more so than ever. So there's all different types of styles of worship that the black church is embracing. But say 50 years ago, it was just straight coming to church, clapping your hands, beating the tambourines. If you had drums or piano or organ, because let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. And we believe in the Bible when it says, make a praise ye the Lord on the high sounding cymbals and the loud sounding cymbals. But we are a noisy church yes. when it comes to our worship to the Lord.
Yes, yes. And that is also reflective of a vibrant community of believers who come together and mm-hmm. To worship God as well. Well, right. How can the black church regain its identity? Especially, this is a post-pandemic time. Mm-hmm. Some even say it's a post-modern culture. Some of my reading, they're even saying post-Christian culture. So mm-hmm. how does the black church regain its identity?
Well, I believe there's challenges in that question, how to regain the identity, because as we stated earlier, there's many different things that are happening within the black family. Mm. And until you address the black family's need, then the identity of the black church can't really come forth like it should. I mean, going to the black home, what do you find? Single parents.
That's right.
You're seeing fathers or mothers in jail, on drugs. Right. How do we combat that issue within the black family? Because really, the black family is really the strength of a black church.
That's right. That's right.
And because without the black family, the church is pretty much non-existent.
That is a very good point. I remember doing some research here in Canton, mm-hmm. and they called it the Southeast section or quadrant of Canton was primarily where the African Americans lived, coming mm-hmm. migrating from the South during the Great Migration to the North.
Right.
And I had a conversation with a gentleman, and he was saying that on a given Sunday, mm-hmm. because the churches then were in the neighborhoods of okay. where the people lived. And it was typical where the whole family mm-hmm. attended church together. And right. I'm sure you remember, I remember growing up, there were entire families that would worship together in church. And this whole thing about the family, the breakdown of the family, I think this is one of those issues. I'll put it to you this way. I see it as a opportunity for ministry for the church, but it's a complex issue.
Yes.
There was one statistic that said, I think it was at one point, eight out of 10 children, African-American children, were born out of wedlock.
Right. Wow.
And that's a huge statistic.
Wow.
Then you couple that with, you remember this, once you had the mass incarceration of African-American males, which, you know, I put it to you this way. I believe that was a result of the three strikes you're out law, where you had massive number of African-American males being in prison for nonviolent offenses.
Right.
And I remember talking to Dr. Ernest Fields. And Dr. Fields, he was saying how the black male is in crisis.
Right.
And so one congregation can't solve this.
No.
Not even it's a major issue if the church is to survive.
Right. And just to add to what you're saying, within the black family, we are taught to have, there should be a man and a woman. Now you got some black families that have two women.
That's true.
That are married. And or two men that are raising children in the black family.
That's right.
So the complex issue becomes more, that much more challenging. How do you witness or how do you minister to those type of families? And I always believe that God has to give man the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in order to deal with those type of complex issues. Because we believe those that sin, all have sinned,
and
come short of the glory of God.
That's
but when you see the sin that's so blatant now, that they really are away from the word and they're not really following what the word says, then the challenging really becomes, how do you minister? We got mental health situations that are great within the black family, more so now than ever. So how do you deal with mental health? I believe that with the black church and even with the black family, we have to find and look out and search for qualified individuals that have the expertise. You know, everything can't be all spiritual.
That's right.
Some things is natural first, then spiritual. So we have to find means and ways that and resources really that we can connect with. And the church has to be more outreach than inreach. We can't just come to church and sing our songs, listen to the preacher preach. Every parishioner, every person that is a believer has to have and take an active part in reaching out outside the four walls, whether it's through a food ministry or if it's a male mentorship or women of coming together and fellowshipping and teaching young mothers how to raise their children. So I believe that's how the black church will be strengthened, as long as you put the emphasis and priority on the black family.
That's true. That is, the black family is definitely critical. That's interesting. You brought up a very good point about mental health. And of course, within the African-American community, there is this taboo.
Right.
associated with mental health, and how critical that is. And I like what you said in terms of seeking out professionals to deal with, you know, a lot of issues that are, I would even say are specific to African Americans. It's not because a person has a mental health issue doesn't mean they are handicapped, but many times mental health issues can actually be derived from trauma.
True, absolutely.
And some of that is passed on from generation to generation, and then a lot of times folks don't understand what's wrong with themselves because of that effect of trauma, which even becomes a DNA issue, a genetic issue as well.
Right. And going back, you know, we can even go a little bit further when you speak about trauma. How do you minister to a child that's been molested within the family? Those issues can have a long-lasting effect on that particular child, even to their adult lives. Until we understand that every person that experiences these traumas and I call them situations of life needs the help and assistance of professionals that can minister to the people dealing with those different types of situations of life. Because if it's not taken care of, once again, it's a pattern. It continues to go to the next generation and to the next generation until someone says, you know, I had enough of this. I'm going to seek help. And there's nothing wrong with saying I'm saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled.
That's right.
And I need help.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. And I believe the people have preached and taught that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, that you don't have what it takes to survive. But I need the Holy Ghost and professionals that would help me through those issues. So what the Holy Ghost can't reveal, I can go to somebody that can share and how to deal with whatever I'm dealing with.
That's very true. And, you know, there's Christian counselors out there.
Yes. Yes.
And there's even African-American Christian counselors out there that really can deal with our specific issues. Yeah, these are, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about how Jesus, how he fed 5,000. He fed 5,000, but before he fed them, he healed them.
Yes.
And so Jesus was dealing with the total person. Or as we say, the total man.
Right.
And so the church has got to be concerned about the totality of the individual.
Yes, mind, body, and I get to body. Our physical health is so important.
Yes, it is.
To the survival of the Black church.
Yes.
People don't take care of themselves.
That's true.
I mean, I grew up in a church. After church, there was fried chicken, you know, everything was just fried, greasy. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember going to a lot of the meetings and after church, you could smell the chicken
aroma
coming from the basement up through the sanctuary.
That's right. That's right.
And even eating late at night, you know, we would get out of church 11, 12 midnight sometimes. And would eat after service, go to a restaurant and buy something to eat. Instead of eating healthy,
that's true.
We are just eating, you know, ribs, and fried chicken, French fries, you know, all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we can overdo it a little bit. And that causes a lot of things that we can bring on ourselves as far as our health. And, you know, I know the scripture says, beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health, even as your soul prosper.
Yes.
So if your soul to prosper, our souls consisted of the mind, the will, the imagination, the emotions, and the intellect. Because, you know, the way we're feeling, we eat because we worry, we're stressed out.
That's right.
You know, and we're eating the wrong type of food instead of, you know, of course, fruit and vegetables are mostly the primary things. They're drinking water.
Yes.
You know, we're in an age that sometimes those processed food is not always the best to eat. So the health of our church goes right back to the family. What are we feeding our family as far as natural food and even spiritual food?
I like that. I really do like that. And so it's you know, when you really begin to talk about the Black church, you're also talking about our culture.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, much of our culture came out of the Black church.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
our music, our humor, just a lot of things that we do as a people is associated with the Black church.
Right, exactly.
How can we improve the culture of the Black church? How can we improve the culture of the Black church?
Preacher, that I believe some things are taught and some things are caught. And what I mean by that is there's some teachings that we have to learn how to listen instead of reacting to. Black folks are reactionary. Say, yes. I'm going to use an example, going to a basketball game. Of course, the Golden State Warriors are now the NBA champions once again.
That's right.
I believe
that's
the fourth
right.
time.
Yes.
But the culture that they built was that they believed in working together
as a team.
You got to teach that to people,
yes.
especially within our community. Because if you don't teach how to get along with others, because of the anger and the resentment that we've had, you know, especially when it comes to racism over the past couple years that we've experienced, those things can have lasting impression. You know, our grandfathers can still have that same spirit within them that they're just angry about everything until we have our senior citizens and those that have had experience teaching our younger generation how to deal with the anger issues, then the culture will never change. And then the next such thing I said about we teach things, then things have to be caught. Faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
And we catching the word of God.
Yes.
So faith cometh
yes.
by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So we
yes.
have to learn how to embrace what God's word says. We may not understand it. That's why we have Bible classes. That's why
that's
we
right.
have Sunday school, so we can build up our faith as well
yes.
as increasing our learning and knowledge of God's holy word. So those things are very, very vital to the Black church and its culture, because the culture is solid.
Yes.
Our founder of the Church of God in Christ, Bishop Mason, we can read stories of how he came out of a Baptist church.
That's right.
And the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, if you put my name, the Church of God in Christ,
that's
then
it.
There will never be room enough to hold the people of God.
That's
and of
right.
course, that
that's
prophecy
right.
came to pass.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why he was able to share that story was he had an experience with the Lord. And every one of us is going to have an experience with the Lord. I'm not talking about the skies open and the
that's
Lord
right.
send thunder and lightning, boom, 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 boom. But when you have that undeniable experience with the Lord, you can have it through your trials, through hard
yes.
times,
that's
through
true.
Financial
that's true.
Difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
That's an experience
yes.
with the Lord.
Oh, yes, it, oh,
what the
yes,
Lord
it is.
Trying to teach you how to handle finances or how to control your anger and not get upset, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So
yes.
in the culture, we're happy people by nature.
Mm-hmm.
When things are going good for us, we can be the most loving, happiest people in the world. But when we're under attack, when we're facing challenges, then that happiness becomes sadness. It comes depression. And that's another thing. Depression, especially within our Black leaders, our Black pastors specifically, is overtaking the culture of the church.
Oh, yes,
because
yes.
if the Black pastors are depressed and they're not happy with whatever is going on within their life, then it tends to spill over into the church. And that's people, true. Without the pastor saying anything, can pick up that sense of how that pastor is. So the culture has to begin with the leadership of the church. If the head is not healed, then the neck and the body will never be healed.
You brought up something that really, really struck me was your analogy of the Golden State Warriors and that whole team concept of working together.
Yes.
And because you have two forwards, you have two guards, you have a center, then you have a coach. And unfortunately, we have been victimized from a legacy that goes all the way back to slavery.
Yes.
Where we were taught not to work together.
Right.
And but even in spite of that, the Black church was able to come into existence.
Yes.
And have denominations and begin to minister to the community. So that is a very critical thing about teamwork within a congregation.
And I believe the year that Dr. Martin Luther King died, I believe the paradigm shifted because we started to see the Black people come together, working together.
That's true. That's true.
You know, fighting for the voting rights, fighting for oppression to be lifted off the Black people. But when Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King died, I believe there was a paradigm shift at that moment. And I was probably 2 years old when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And in the spirit, it just shows that there's some assassinations that are taking place. With our lips, we don't want to see nobody successful.
Oh, my.
We don't want to see nobody be great.
That's true.
I heard Bishop Chandler Owens and others make reference. You have to be big enough to let someone else be big.
That's true. Good point.
And how do we teach that in our Black community? Because we have rappers.
That's true.
We have actors. But are they willing to let somebody else that really doesn't have anything to be big?
Oh, my. And then that goes into positioning. Because, you know, I think about Bishop Mason. Bishop Mason was a he was extraordinary in how he would send preachers from the South and sent them. He sent O.T. Jones to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
He sent Bishop Riley Williams to Ohio. And the different ones, Bishop Page out to California. And those ministers thrived.
Right.
They actually thrived in their ministries because he positioned them.
Yes, 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 sir.
And through much prayer, he sent the right preacher to the right area.
And you know what? That is a key point right there. You got to know who's able to handle the situation. That's reading in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's talking about you got to make sure that your election and your calling is sure.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And
oh,
many people are out ministering and doing things. And really, God didn't call them to pastor. They may call them to serve another leader.
That's right. That's true.
But once again, it goes to what we talk about. How do we bring people together to work together as a team?
That's true. And every position has value.
Every position. Say that. Every position has value. That's really... people got to understand if the position is valuable, how do you increase that value?
That's true.
Without thinking somebody's trying to get ahead of me.
That's right.
To overtake what I'm trying to do or do something better. You know, right. We're all in this thing together. And one thing I've learned that David talked about, how he encouraged himself
in the Lord. Yes. That's it.
What people got to understand is if you're going to be successful, first of all, if nobody will pat you on the back, pat yourself on the back.
That's right.
Encourage yourself.
That's right.
You know, tell yourself, I believe in self-talk, but we don't that enough. You know, sometimes it's, I'm going to make it through this. This trial is just only temporary. But weeping may endure for a night.
That's right.
24 hours, joy is coming in the morning.
That's it, in the morning. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Because in our church, we celebrate certain positions or certain functions.
Right.
But when you really think about it, the usher is equally as important.
Absolutely. And
deacons, even the one who cleans the church, all of those are critical positions because when a person enters a house of worship, there's a certain impression they get if the church is clean.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Or if it's not clean.
Yeah, and go back to the scripture says, without a vision,
that's it.
The people perish.
That's right.
But I understand you can flip that around. Without people, the vision perishes.
That's true. That's very true.
It's very important that we write the vision. We train up the child in the way it should go. We try to do things within the family structure to help build the family. I can remember, as you started earlier, talk about being a PK. Who was in church Sunday morning for Sunday school, then Sunday morning worship, then Sunday afternoon service, then come back to Sunday night service, what we call YPWW, and then we're going Sunday night evangelistic service. Then Tuesday night was prayer and Bible band, and then Thursday maybe was choir rehearsal. Then it was Friday night back in for Friday night service.
Then
don't throw in Saturday because there was a lot of different services going on. And then it was right back at church on Sunday. I was one of those that was taught the YPWW. And some of you that are listening may know what YPWW is. Young People, Willing Workers.
Yes.
Who would have to say that every Sunday. You know, see, Christ is the answer, Acts 4:12. Oh, occupy till I come. Luke 19:13. G, growing grace, 2 Peter 3:18. I, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Proverbs 3:6. And C, cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9. And we have to put the address, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Then we got to our pledge. We pledge our unselfish devotion and loyalty to the principles and doctrine of the Church of God in Christ's faith to be representatives of holiness in our everyday lives and to let our lives be the mirror that reflect the image of Christ. That was instilled inside of us at an early age. We didn't to wait till we got 15, 16, 17 to have those principles instilled within us. But as parents and those that we have mentors, they have to do a better job, and we all have to do a better job instilling those principles within our children very early in life. Because when they turn 10 and 11 and 12, they think they've grown.
That's true.
And then we're going to have problems.
And then when you consider the technology, all that they're exposed to.
Yes,
so they're definitely going to. They're going to have those kind of thoughts.
Yes.
Is the black church really hurting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. The pandemic showed that.
Yes. Yes.
The pandemic really showed how really the church really is. It almost like it was shown its weakness.
Because
really, when the pandemic first hit, nobody really didn't really have an answer because, you know, people that would go to church because of the COVID-19 that would hit, then people stay home from church.
That's right.
You know, and I know that we have to have safety protocols and different things, but God has not given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
But love, power, and a sound mind. So those same people that were saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and speaking in the tongue, they said, well, you know, we got technology now. We don't have to assemble ourselves in the house of God while we had in this pandemic.
That's true.
And I'm thinking about the children of Israel that were in the wilderness for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to trust God while they were in the wilderness. And sometimes even in our wilderness experience, you can really tell if a person really trusts God.
That's very true. Especially when you're totally dependent upon him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, and that goes back to what you said earlier about having experience with the Lord through different trials.
Mm-hmm.
And through those trials, you learn what God can do for you in your life. So you're saying the church, the black church, is really hurting.
Really. Really.
So
whether it's emotionally, economically, financially, socially, they are hurting. I mean, you can go to a church that used to have 20,000 members. Now that's right. been cut in half dramatically because once again, the church is really hurting. And this is a type of pain that the church has not really totally has had to deal with. The only way we were able to deal with our pain as earlier growing up and back in the 60s and 70s, we come to church and we were able to fellowship. We were able to praise the Lord and express our ways, ourselves in different ways. But now, when people are hurting, you can almost tell when they, as soon as they enter into the house of the Lord, because we enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But because of people are worried, look at the gas prices, look at the food prices, everything is so high. And of course, the mass shootings, you know, just last Friday, I was at work just down the street, and there was a gentleman that got out of his car, shot another man just right down where I worked at. And then after that, he starts shooting at the police. Whoever heard of such a thing? We're living in dangerous times. Yes, and then you have people that have lost loved ones to gun violence. I can remember just a few months ago, I lost my sister unexpectedly.
Yes,
you know, death, I mean, it could take a toll on you if you're not really anchored in the Lord.
You know, and looking back and thinking about that, the scriptures has all the solutions for us to address these different challenges. And you think about the church after Jesus ascended back to heaven. They had they had different types of their lives.
Yes,
were on the line for just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how through prayer, through fellowship, the church actually thrived.
True.
So it's almost prayer, fellowship, our scripture reading, fasting unto the Lord. The solutions are in the scriptures.
Yes.
And the solutions come from the Lord.
Yes.
And so I think these are some things that the church has got to consider.
Yes.
And as to how we're going to move forward.
You know what, Pastor Allen, I believe the church knows what to do, but are they able to adjust and make the necessary adjustment? And usually making adjustment is never an easy thing. It's all about process. You know, sometimes when you are in something so long and you did something for so long, and when it's time for the adjustment, most times, not saying all times, but most times people are not really prepared to make the necessary adjustment. Say, for instance, we spend most of our church time on the average of 2.5 3 hours. That's now, right. Because of the pandemic, we had to cut back a little bit.
That's right.
And some churches that were used to staying in church 3 or 4 hours at a time, and now that's you right. have to see people in your congregation, and now you're scaled back to hour and a half of that's worship. Right. Now, what do I do in that hour and a half to be productive?
That's right. That's right.
And productivity is everything now in this day and time. If you're not producing, I heard one bishop say, if you don't produce, you're going to be reduced.
So you're talking about that a new paradigm, a new methodology.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's all scriptural based, which I think that is definitely possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you talk about new paradigm, new methodologies, you're not talking about a departure from scripture.
Right.
Just being more efficient.
Yeah, efficient.
Well, Elder Mitchell, I want to thank you very much for this conversation. And I think it was helpful for me. And I pray it'll be helpful for others, because there are some challenges for the Black church that we must address. Some are easy. Some are, as you've already said,
yes.
Many are complicated as well.
Yes.
Well, folks, we've discussed the Black church. So let us move forward in prayer and in scripture reading as to how the Lord is to function in the 21st century as a Black church as it ministers to the community. Blessings to you.